Gather round. The witching hour draws near. I'm your haunted host, animation industry artist, witch, and overall spooky enthusiast, Jenny Calabro. Come with me as we venture into the spooky realm of entertainment and real-life ghosties in this episode of A Jaunty Haunt. This episode is full of laughs, or my name's Abigail Watersington, and it's not. Welcome back, Spooks Inspectors. If you couldn't tell from that silly little quote I just gave, you probably read it in the title. We're talking about Courage the Cowardly Dog this episode. My guest is Way Singleton, storyboard artist in the animation industry, and we have so many laughs talking about our favorite Courage the Cowardly Dog episodes, as well as randomly remembering old quotes from the show that we didn't even realize we still remembered. Anyways, I hope you all have a fun time listening to this episode. Hello, Spooks Inspectors. Welcome back to yet another episode of A Jaunty Haunt. This time we're going to be talking about another spooky dog show, but this one isn't Scooby-Doo. We got Courage the Cowardly Dog. I am so excited to talk about this, but before I get too far in, let's say hello to our guest.
Hello, everybody. Hi, I am Way Singleton. And I am a storyboard artist working in animation. Also, my pronouns are he, him.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Way. I'm so excited that you could come onto the podcast and talk Courage the Cowardly Dog with me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to talk Courage the Cowardly Dog. It's like absolutely one of my favorite shows as a kid.
Same. So for anybody who maybe hasn't seen Courage the Cowardly Dog or it's been a while, let me give you a quick rundown. So essentially the show takes focus on this cute, adorable, purple, scaredy cat of a dog named Courage, who lives in the middle of nowhere. See, now I gotta do that.
You have to do the whole the thing. Theme song literally just like is the synopsis
no,
of the
no,
show.
It really is.
Hold on, wait. Yes, now please. You gotta do it.
So I'm just going to read this because it's too perfect. Courage the Cowardly Dog Show, starring Courage the Cowardly Dog, abandoned as a pup, was found by Muriel, who lives in the middle of nowhere with her husband, Eustace Bags. But creepy stuff happens in nowhere, and it's up to Courage to save his new home. And that is literally the opening for Courage the Cowardly Dog. Sums it up. That's all you got to know. And it's just a wonderful, really, it's a horror, you know, thriller for kids. And I absolutely ate it up as a kid. So before I go off on my whole why I love Courage, I got to ask you, why do you love Courage? Like, what made you choose this for the podcast? Because you chose it, even though I totally would have been like, please come talk about Courage. What made you pick Courage?
Scooby-Doo was already... He talked about. I was like, "Dang it, my other spooky dog show." but I absolutely immediately thought of Courage, and it's just, of course, because it's a spooky show, but it was absolutely one of my favorites. Like, it's definitely one that I would like wait for new episodes. Like, I remember it being like was it Cartoon Friday like show. Yeah, and so they would have new episodes, and I remember being pretty obsessed with Courage the Cowardly Dog, and it's also one of the shows that, like, it's just so memorable. Like, it has so many great quotes, so many, like, just funny gags, so many crazy characters. Like, it's just, the characters are, like, truly, like, just insane. Like, they're just so horrifying yet like hilarious looking. It's just something that's just stapled in my brain forever.
Yes. I know exactly what you mean. So what do you think, if you can remember, what do you think was the first episode that you remember watching?
Ooh, so this is like, I feel like I can almost remember every episode, but I actually remember seeing the pilot for it When I was like before it was like a series, or maybe they were like test audiencing it or whatever on Cartoon Network. Yeah, I don't remember if it was like, I guess it was a part of Cartoon Fridays or something, I don't know, but it is the Chicken from Outer Space short. And I guess that's technically not an episode. I guess it's the pilot. But that's my very first memory, and I remember seeing this and thinking like, what is this? This is so weird. Like, what's going on?
I think my first memory of any Courage episode would be the one about the weremole, where there is a mole that's kind of like a werewolf that bites Muriel, who then becomes a weremole herself. Like, she starts digging underground, tearing up the ground, and she's got sharp teeth.
Oh my
That one I
gosh.
remember. Yeah, that one I remember. And I always thought that was the first episode. And I always thought that the Chicken from Outer Space was like the second episode. And it wasn't until I started dating my now husband, Cole, who told me, no, the Chicken from Outer Space is the pilot. It's the first episode. And I was like, no, how dare? That's not what I remember.
Yeah, I feel like Chicken from Outer Space, I mean, I'm guessing it had to be like the first thing that they showed, and I just it is it's such a it's one of those memories that are just like, whoa, this show is real weird. And after it, I guess, got greenlit, it was like, oh wow, oh yeah, this is that show. That's so weird. It's even weirder.
So here's something interesting that I actually learned upon doing research for the show. Apparently, Chicken from Outer Space was not really meant to be a pilot. It was actually a short that the creator, John R. Dilworth, had created, and it even was nominated for an Academy Award.
Oh yeah. Okay, yes, I did. I remember reading this too. I remember reading that it was like nominated for an Oscar, Annie, some other awards, and I didn't realize it wasn't I guess a pilot. Maybe it was it like bought by Cartoon Network then, I'm guessing?
Yeah, it from what I could tell online, because it's actually surprisingly hard to find a lot of information about the show, like how it got canceled and all that details. It's very, very fuzzy. So a lot of it's kind of speculation online, but from what it sounds like John R. Dilworth made this short. It did really, really well, got a lot of attention, and Cartoon Network kind of came up to John and was like, hey, we would like you to, possibly continue forward with this project. What do you think? And it ended up getting picked up as a show and went to Cartoon Network. They had aired the pilot, well, the short, which then became the pilot on Cartoon Network, and it did really well with audiences on TV as well as, through award circuits. So it ended up just becoming its own TV show.
Oh wow, snap.
Yeah, which is unheard of. Like, nowadays, you don't really hear of that happening, where it's like, hey, this short was really, really great and it went and did a lot of things. Like, how about we make it into a TV show? I know Family Guy kind of had a similar thing happen, but it's not something you really hear of that often.
Yeah, not really. I mean, at least not nowadays. And it's kind
No,
of
yeah.
interesting. Yeah, it's like it's interesting too. I feel like that sort of stuff definitely happened like in the 90s, because I think about Powerpuff Girls and like kind of that history where it was just, a short that was done by Craig McCracken and further developed. And when Cartoon Network was looking for like pitches and stuff, he was like, oh, I got this short I made. And yeah, and they developed it from there. And it's like, yeah, I feel like that, you don't see that happen a lot.
Yeah, no. But I thought that was interesting that this one short became this whole phenomena that is now Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Yeah, and I feel like it definitely I feel like not a lot changes. I mean, a lot changes from the short, of course, but it definitely, I feel like it grows from it. You definitely see the influences and just things that were kept and like evolved from it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's funny too, because I think in the short, there's only like one word or one line spoken by Courage, and it, for the most part, is just silent, 8 minute short. And it's funny because that does carry over to this show in quite a lot of episodes. Not all the episodes. I feel like as the show goes on, there's more talking, but it definitely kept true to what John R. Dilworth was doing with the short. But I gotta ask, what's your favorite episode? Do you have a favorite?
That is such a great question. Ooh. All right, hold on. I'm gonna look at my notes here and see if I wrote down a favorite episode. The Tower of Dr. Jolas is one of my favorite episodes. I just remember seeing that episode as a kid and thinking, like, this is such a huge epic. Like, whoa, this is so intense. And like, oh, wow, like so much is happening. And I rewatched it recently. I was just like, I mean, this is still great, but it wasn't like the epic that I remembered it to be.
It was much more grand when you were a kid.
Yeah, this is like, what? And I think it was like last episode of, second season two. So I was kind of like, whoa, oh, wow. Season finale.
So for anybody who doesn't know this episode, it is a two-part episode. Usually Courage the Cowardly Dog, one episode on TV would actually be split into two. So you have two separate episodes airing at the same time, like most, you know, kids shows nowadays. So it was a special where they did two parts, where it's essentially a story about this dude who's got a tower and like a kind of Igor-esque rat familiar character named, I think his name is just Ratty.
Yeah. Just Rat, yep.
Mm-hmm. Or Rat.
It was just straight up Rat.
Yes, he doesn't want anything to do with this silly plot where essentially this guy has created these kind of like, they're cannonballs that make people really sad and depressed and sleepy and not want to do anything. It's essentially depression. And if you get hit with it, you don't get harmed other than you get this intense depression. And he threatens a town with it and they don't really take his threat seriously. Then when he starts firing the cannon, you know, they take him seriously. They try to pay him off. He's like, too bad, so sad. You know, if I can't be happy, nobody can be happy. He eventually finds his way to the middle of nowhere, Courage and Eustace and Muriel, where he fires off cannons at them. Courage saves the day because Muriel had made some delicious happy plums.
Happy plums
that she cooks on the stove with vinegar. Who knows how they and they put sour cream on top, by the way, which I was like, what is this?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm like, why are they doing this? I have like intense memories of thinking that too. Like, would that taste good? And as I was watching it, rewatching, I was like, oh my God, I remember freaking out about that as a kid. Like, what are they doing?
But it actually makes everybody happy, and that's how Courage saves the day. He accidentally gets the plums mixed in with some cannonballs, and they become happy cannonballs, and everybody gets turned to normal, and big old ugly angry rat monster turns into an adorable little baby rat, and the depressed, you know, tower scientist person ends up, you know, happy with his new little baby rat that he gets to cuddle and hold, which makes me very happy. And that was the highlight of the episode for me as a kid.
And that was literally the end of the episode.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Courage. It's so like, as we were talking about it, yes, it's like very horror filled, horror themes, like spooky stuff happening in nowhere. but it's such a goofy show. Like, it's so funny. And like, it has such funny gags, such great expressions, and like Courage, whenever he is trying to communicate with Eustace and Muriel, like he's always transforming into different things to try to communicate with them, because like you were saying, like he doesn't really talk to them, but he talks to the audience, which always was weird for me as a kid too. I was like, just tell them what you're trying to say. Why are you transforming into things?
I always thought that was wild as a kid too, because I was like, I know you can talk. But then like now as an adult, when I was rewatching it just this week, I was like, oh, he only talks to us. He can't really talk to the audience. And like, maybe he'll talk to the villain, but generally it's just him making sounds which sound like,
like
total nonsense. And then sometimes he'll try to talk and it's like, like, again, it's nonsense, but it's adorable. And it's not like Scooby-Doo where it's like words with a little like,
Right. Those are my
impersonations of Scooby and Courage.
I mean, that was a perfect impression of Scooby. Yeah, impression of a Courage. That was like the Oompa Dappa. That's literally what he says. Very goofy, very eclectic too. Like the design wise, it's such an eclectic aesthetic. Because you got like these very cartoonish, goofy, super unrealistic characters. And you have these backgrounds that are also like very stylized, but they have like realistic textures, like photorealistic textures and stuff. And as well as like the sprinkled use of like 3D occasionally.
And live action.
Yeah, and live action. Yeah, it's like such a mixed media feel, which adds to the aesthetic. Like, I think things like that, like, just make it such a unique show that, like, just you can't help but remember.
Absolutely. It's funny because, like, I started with my research watching TV, watching the first season episodes and being like, wow, this is, like, still, like, wow, this looks really great, you know? Often when I watch cartoons for the podcast that I grew up with, I'm kind of like anticipating, you know, the rose tinted glasses effect, but I didn't get that with Courage. It's like, no, this still looks really good. Like the Cat's Motel was the first episode that I chose to watch because that also was just one of my favorites. And I was so impressed with not only like the use of textures, which I never noticed until now, because working in animation, you start to notice the fine details of other animation. So I had never caught that before. And also the music stood out to me. And I realized that almost every episode has unique music. They don't really reuse a lot other than, you know, there's some typical music that does get reused because it has a certain feeling and emotion, kind of like when everything is peaceful, there's sort of like this yes, there's that one. And then there's like the one where like when Muriel is sitting in her rocker and all is well at the end of the episode, there's like a certain theme that plays. So there's like, I don't know how to describe it, but there's certain themes that play, just like there's one for when there's like action and Courage is scrambling, but like Cats has his own theme, and then, you know, Uncle Fred has his own theme.
Yeah, Freaky yes. Fred. Which also a favorite episode.
Same.
Very classic, such a classic episode.
I think my two favorite episodes would have to be the Uncle Fred episode and then The Mask, which has Kitty and Bunny, which we will get into a little later because I do want to kind of do a deeper dive on that episode because it's just, oh, it's so good. But yeah, so what I noticed, you know, watching season one episodes compared to the final season, season four, there were 52 episodes total. Like any show, the animation is going to get better and better and better. And I was just so impressed because I literally went from a season one episode to a season four finale. And there's a part where Muriel is sitting in her rocking chair with Courage, you know, kind of sleeping in her lap. And I was just blown away that they went from a very flat 2D kind of rocking chair effect in the first season to in this last one, there was actually like 3D form on Courage's like face. Like it was actually moving in perspective with the rocking chair just subtly, where I was like, wow, I was just so impressed. And then there were like small antics and in-betweens with the animation where instead of like, for example, there was one shot where like Eustace is talking and he's at a three-quarter front facing camera. And that would have typically been what they would have had in season one. Just, you know, very simple animation. You know, it's cheaper too. So it's like, okay, that works. But in the final season, he did this antic where it was completely unnecessary, but it was gorgeous. He threw out his arm, pointed his finger, and when he did, his head rolled. So instead of just getting a three-quarter front, you got a three-quarter down shot, a full down shot, and then a roll back up, and then his whole body went forward with the point. And I was just so impressed. I was like, that's subtle animation. Yeah. I was like, they didn't have to go hard, but they did. And it looks great.
Heck yeah. Yeah. I also like one of my favorite things about like that evolution too, is actually like the end tag as well. Like you could kind of see a little bit of that, of course, like through the episode's animation, but also at the end tag is like, I guess, I can't remember what season one was, but it goes from like just a simple, like, like drawing of Courage with the end to like a full 3D like Courage animated with him bowing, and it's like what? Like whoa, like you could definitely see it in just that little bumper.
They had like three different ones, I think. They may have had four. They may have had a different one for each season. But yeah, the first one was just like a basic drawing of Courage holding up a wooden sign and a spray can. And the sign had been spray painted to say the end. And then I think the one after that may have been a more rendered painting, which was one of my favorite ones, where it looks like a red curtain, like a velvet curtain, with a like filigree design of like Courage in the center, and off to the side in two smaller circles are Eustace and Muriel. So it was kind of like theatrical, very stage play. And then I think the last one was the one that you're talking about, this beautiful, really gorgeous rendered 3D model of Courage doing this great bow at the end saying yeah. The end. And it's just like, again, it's like they didn't have to go that hard, but they did. And it's so cool because in Courage, you see like what we were talking about, you see this mix of, you know, media. You see live action, you see even stop motion in one episode. They also do one 2D animation that's kind of like puppeted, so it's supposed to look like paper, but it's obviously not, it's digital. And when they did 3D, it was actually surprisingly like really well done.
Yeah, truly. Like actually I kind of want to ask you a question about this, but we talk about our favorite episodes, but what is one of the more spooky episodes? Like what is an episode that you remember just being like, whoa, this is actually scary? Like I'm a little scared by this.
you beat me to it because I was going to ask you that question.
I'm so sorry.
It's hard to choose one. Like it's funny because like as a kid they never really fully like scared me or terrified me. It was always that like, I don't know, as a kid I watched a lot of horror movies, so Courage was like right up there, perfect mix of horror and kid cartoon.
Ooh, I definitely think Courage is like a good baby step into horror. I will yes. say that because there are like, it is so goofy that it like, it really softens any horror that's happening in the show. Like it's just like, oh, this is so like, yeah, Courage is, he's safe, everybody's fine, like Muriel's okay, Eustace is probably dead, but it's okay because he'll be back in the next episode.
Yeah. Eustace typically dies in some way.
Yeah, he is gone, he is dead, no one questions it. Muriel's like, I wonder when Eustace is coming back, and it's just like, we straight up just saw yeah. him get murked. Like he's gone, bro. Like what are you talking about?
I remembered the episode I was trying to think of. So the scariest episode for me as a kid, and probably still to this day, is the episode Heads of Beef. Do you remember that one?
I can't recall it. What happens in it?
Okay, so essentially what happens is Courage gets dragged with Eustace to go out. He's supposed to be doing something else, but he wants to get himself a burger. He is determined to get himself a good burger. So he stops at a roadside diner, kind of in the middle of nowhere. Essentially, they go into this diner and there's this pig chef that's working, and it kind of seems like he has bloodstains on his apron. And when he comes out, he keeps making like these insinuations that he's saying, you know, you look good enough to eat. And
I just want to eat you
eat
up.
You up. That's what it is.
I just remember like quotes. Like, I'm like, I don't know where that just came from.
Deep down, yeah. Your inner child remembered this. Oh my gosh. And it's just so good because, like, one of the people that's in the diner who gets done eating, he gets taken away into a room and doesn't come back out. And it freaks Courage out because when they get served a burger, it looks like the face of the guy who was sitting at the booth. And so Courage is just freaking out because he's like, oh my gosh, they're gonna cook up Eustace, they're gonna make him into a burger. And he's panicking. And in the end, it's revealed that the pig chef has a wife who actually is a sculptor, and she's a meat sculptor, and she likes to sculpt out her patrons before they cook them and eat them, but they're not actually being eaten. But that one, the whole buildup, the tension, and the way that even you as the viewer, you're like 100% sold that yes, they are cooking and eating people, even though you know, there are other episodes of Courage the Cowardly Dog where Courage assumes the worst out of the presumed villain, and then it turns out that they're not a villain after all. They're actually, you know, really sad or misunderstood or something of that nature, which I love those kind of villains in the show. And this is one of them where it's like, it's totally a misunderstanding because Courage is just so scared of everything. He's usually right, but in this case, he was not. But the buildup and the tension, brilliant.
Yes, that, oh my God, that is such a, I would agree with that one. That is such a good buildup of an episode. Yeah, mine would have to be one that just like instilled fear in me as a child was King Ramsay's Curse.
Yes! I love that episode.
It's so spooky, like, and to, you know, talk about like the mixed media of things, like the monster, which is like this ghost, I guess. Okay, so the King's Ramsay's Curse episode, it has to do with this slab, this cursed slab of, I guess, concrete or rock that was stolen from this ancient temple. And it is somehow gets into the hands of Eustace because some thieves were taking it away, but they were cursed by the curse. So it ends up in front of the Nowhere House where Eustace gets it. And some museum on TV is saying, oh, if you find this slab, we'll give you $1 million or whatever. Or no, they're saying it costs $1 million. Please return it. And he's like, oh, $1 million? I could get $1 million. So he's like trying to keep it until they give him $1 million. But whoever has the slab has to suffer the curse of the slab, King Ramsay's curse. And King Ramsay is this like, just scary, kind of flat 3D character. King Ramsay comes and haunts the Courage gang with the three curses. Or I guess it's technically four, the first curse being that King Ramsay shows up and tells you to return the slab. And
in a haunting voice, by the way. That voice.
Return the slab.
Or suffer my curse.
like that, all that introduction of King Ramsay, I was like, oh my God, what is this? No! Like, it's so creepy. And I mean, I watched it recently and I was just like, oh, this is like so goofy. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, there's a part where King Ramsay's like, I can't remember what he says, but like they go through one of the curses or survive one of the curses, and he's like, is just like, darn it, or something like that. I'm like,
he says, oh man.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like, oh man, and it's just like, this is so
oh no, no, I'll come on. That's what it is. Oh, come on.
That's what. Yeah, yes, yes. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Yeah,
because it's just so good.
Yeah, it's so good. It is so goofy, and I'm just like, how is this scary as a kid? I guess it's because the intro, like his voice, and like how juxtaposed he is against like the background and like the rest of the show is just like, whoa, this is instilling something. This is weird. But that was like what one that like stuck with me as a kid as being like super spooky.
It was like one of like my favorite episodes with my sister. Like, it was both of our favorite episodes because we would always sing the King Ramsay's Curse song from that episode. For anybody who doesn't know, you have to look up a clip. It's just so silly. It's like,
King Ramsay,
the man in gauze.
Okay, oh, because
like
he's a mummy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because I truly was like, I'd never understood it as a kid, and I was like hoping to see it in the subtitles. And I was like watching it recently, and I was like, nope, they don't say it. Like, dang it! Like, I've always wondered what they say.
Man in gauze.
That makes so much sense.
It's amazing because like, The like you were saying, the first curse is he shows up and gives his spooky warning. And then in the second curse, it's a flood. Yes. Yeah. And so the whole house fills with water. And then the third curse is this like music from who knows where. And it's like an old like, what is it? Like an old record player.
Phonograph.
Thank you. A bone of bone. I like that. And then the last curse is the one that makes the most spookiest sense, which is the plague of locusts that like eat everything and everyone. But the song is the silliest one, and it's just so funny.
Yeah, that was just like one of those examples of how courage, like, even though things would get like really spooky and like, oh, this is kind of scary, it just like immediately just be like getting red, like get goofy with it. It'll just get so goofy. And I just like thinking about like aesthetically, like with the animation as well, like kind of, I was reading this article, John Dilworth was kind of talking about the aesthetic of the animation and stylistic choices, and he was talking about like just trying to get timing right specifically with the comedy, like a lot of things like how long each moment would take, and how long certain gags would take, and as well as like how many frames certain poses would like get. Like I was watching I was watching Courage Meets Bigfoot, the Bigfoot episode, and like Bigfoot's movements when he's like roaring is just like literally like two poses or two or three poses on like ones, like going back and forth. And it's just like, this is so great. Like this looks, I feel like this would look bad, but it doesn't. It just like works so perfectly. Like it looks like the animation's like jilted. And it's just like, no, it's just like, this works. He's just like, ah.
It's funny. Cause that was actually something I was going to say, was like the way that they hold on certain things. So like, one of the best examples is in the Cat's Motel episode in season one, there is a part where Courage is tied up to a fence post outside. Cat's releases a toxic looking spider, and the spider runs full speed at Courage, and there's like speed lines and the earth is curved and the spider legs are moving so fast you can barely see him. And it cuts from that shot back to Courage, who is every time doing something wild that just doesn't make sense, trying to get his leash to come off of the board. Like, I think at one point he's trying to like saw through it or something. Like, it never works and it doesn't make sense. And he's just freaking out, screaming. And it'll cut back to the spider, who's still running full speed. And then it cuts back to Courage, who's still trying to get out of his leash. But there's, you know, when they showed the shot earlier, there's only a few feet between where the spider is put down and where Courage is. So it doesn't make any sense, but it's that comedy of like, oh my God, it's coming at him so fast. But then we cut to Courage and he's like still struggling. And then, oh my God, the spider's coming at him. And then like, and they do that all the time.
They do that a lot. Yeah. I can't, because there was another episode I was watching where it was like that same type of gag where something's coming at him super fast and he's kind of just like, oh no, I have to stop this from coming at me. What are things that I can do? Oh no, that won't work. Cut back to thing getting closer. Okay, what's something else I can do? Okay, that doesn't work. It's still coming closer, and it's just like, this is like this is hilarious.
It's funny because like, again, it's one of those, I thought this wasn't going to be as funny, because as a kid, you watch things and you're like, ha, this is hilarious. And then as an adult, you're like, yeah, it's fun. But no, Courage has the humor is still really good.
It's so good. Like, I had that same worry that you were talking about too, the rose-colored glasses of nostalgia. And I was watching this, it's like, oh no, this is really good. Like, oh my God, like, this is hilarious. Like everything is just like, hits so well, and like it's not nostalgia, it's like legitimately like, this is hilarious. Like, I'm laughing out loud at these like dumb gags. It's like they're just done, they're timed so perfectly. I'm just thinking about like just the wackiness of how like certain like jokes, even like not just the physical gags, but like the joke, like how like the just the quotables of certain things and how people say them, and repeated gags, or not repeated gag, repeated quotes, like things that, like basically like catchphrases that Courage says, like the things I do for love, or like, oh, I gotta do this, or my name isn't Astronomy Jones, but it's not. And it's like, okay, yeah, it's not.
I love that. Yes, I was actually just going to say that too. I love these jokes that are constantly used and are very so much just courage. Like you think of courage when you hear them, and they're used all the time in almost every episode, but it never gets old.
Yeah, it truly never gets old. Like I feel like some of them, you know, they slightly change, or like it's like just the way that it's used. It's not like the same exact thing that it's reacting to. It's like different things and how it never gets old, and it's just so fun. Oh gosh.
And there's so much that they got away with back then that I'm like, you could not do this now. Like, you know, I've kind of talked about it on the podcast before, but you don't see a lot of creepy horror shows for kids anymore, like Aw Real Monsters or Beetlejuice or this. Even Grim Adventures was kind of on the horror creepy side, definitely was. But nowadays, like, the most you get is something like either Owl House or Victor and Valentino, which doesn't go super, super hard onto the creepy horror. Sometimes they will hit on it, but not like how Courage was. Like, every episode was creepy, horror, spooky, but still funny enough for kids to enjoy. And one of the things that I was really shocked about that I didn't even realize until I was an adult rewatching these episodes, but there is an episode where, I can't remember the title of it, maybe you do. It's where they get a bed that is cursed.
Yes.
It's the demon in the demon mattress.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, but that was also a scary episode.
That one was scary, and I didn't realize it until I was an adult rewatching it, where I was like, oh my gosh, they did The Exorcist. They literally did The Exorcist.
I also did not know that either as a kid.
Yeah. It's just so wild, because it's like, there's no way that would have, like, the fact that Muriel's head spins completely around before falling off, and that the demon says, oh, Muriel's here with us. And then Muriel's like, help me. And then the demon's like, oh, oops, that one slipped out. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then they have to like exorcise the demon by like saying a bunch of hullabaloo, which is just so good.
Hullabaloo and howdy do. Kick him in the milk pan. Woo, woo. I have not, I literally have not seen that episode. It, like, I did not watch that episode recently at all. I don't know
how I remember that. You got it right. You got it right. I'm impressed.
What's wrong? There's things that I need to remember that I don't remember. How?
You know, there's algebra, and then there's Courage the Cowardly Dog quotes.
Oh my god.
Only the important things.
Only the important things. You know what? Please put that on my grave. Put hullabaloo.
Put that on your resume. I know how to exercise a demon, Courage the Cowardly Dog style. Thank you.
Characters. I mean, the characters, of course, were just so eclectic. Like, so, like, off the wall, all over the place. So many great crazy characters. Did you happen to have like a favorite villain, or antagonist or whatever that Courage goes up against a character at all?
I can't believe you're asking me all the questions I wrote down for you.
I'm so sorry.
No,
okay,
it.
I'm so sorry.
I love just, it.
I don't want to take it over.
No.
I'm so curious from your side.
I love it because we're just so on the same page, because we both love Courage so much that I'm like, oh, you get it. You get it.
Yes. Like, just nerding about like all these tiny details.
It's so hard to choose just one villain, because it's like,
right?
There are like actual true villains that I really enjoy, and then there are the false villains that I also really enjoy.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm like, I can't say, you know, villains, like just characters that, yeah, the false villains that he just goes up against too.
Cause like I always loved the design of the lady in the puddle. But yes. Yeah, she's great. But
so scary.
I love Uncle Fred so much, yes. Though, because his rhyme, his poetry, his like big creepy grin, he's very like,
oh, naughty.
Naughty. That episode's just so fun because you get to hear inside the head of the villain, and every single thing he says is in rhyme, and almost every single sentence ends with naughty.
Oh, yeah. It's such a good... It's from the villain's perspective, so you're kind of seeing his perspective of things, but it's, you know, it's like we're still rooting for Courage.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's from his perspective. That's so interesting. It's such an interesting way to tell that story.
Absolutely. Plus, he's just like a really fun designed character. He always kind of reminded me a little bit of Tim Burton because he was just so like... He's just sticks with like this wild, wild hair shooting all over the place and this giant toothy grin and, you know, yellow eyes. Just so creepy. And he's got to be one of my favorites. What about you? Which one's your favorite?
I always have a place in my heart for Cajun Fox.
Oh my gosh, for Cajun real? Fox is,
look, I just really like Cajun Fox's design. Like... like when you first see Cajun Fox, he has like giant googly yes. eyes and he has to hide them with his sunglasses. And I'm like, I love this. Like, I remember like at one point during my DeviantArt days, like I had Cajun Fox as my DeviantArt icon because I just liked his design, like these giant glasses and like the triangle head. I mean, it was basically just the cat's design, but a fox.
Yes, but with a poopier tail.
Yeah, poopier tail, big glasses.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny because that's like one of the characters I was always like, you're weird. I don't like it. You're weird.
I think his episode two is kind of like not a great one. I mean, it's okay, but it's not, you know, it's not one of the most memorable, but it's just like his design is like, I like this. This is fun. I draw this in my sketchbook in elementary school. Sure.
Amazing. So the episode that I absolutely have to talk about, which a lot of people know online, and it's actually hotly debated whether or not this was the reason why the show got canceled, which could be speculation, honestly, but the episode is called The Mask, and it's probably my favorite episode of Courage the Cowardly Dog. And essentially what happens in it is one day Courage is out on the farm minding his own business, and this character in a white robe and a white mask with a kind of like doll face, like big, big sparkly eyes and a tiny mouth walks up and just... Yeah. Yes.
Sorry, I'm having shivers remembering like that episode because I'm just like, oh yeah, I remember it being so sad. It's so sad.
It is very sad. It's actually, so it's a two-part episode, and this character walks up, sees Courage, and says, you know, dogs are evil, and just starts beating up Courage. And when Muriel comes out, thinks, oh, you two are just having fun, a great time, and invites this character to stay because the character says they have nowhere to go. As the episode goes on, they tell Muriel and Eustace and Courage that they come from the wrong side of the tracks and that they had some dogs take the thing that they loved the most away from them. And now, you know, all dogs are just evil and ugly and terrible. And it's very sad. And we don't know why they feel this way. And at one point, at the dinner table, they ask why she's wearing a mask, and she kind of accuses them of also wearing masks, which is very interesting. Like, she says, well, to Muriel, you're sneaking treats when nobody's looking, and then she points to Eustace and says, you say you can fix everything, but you can't, and just completely throws their own, you know, unwanted, you know, they don't want to look at it, right back in their face. And goes to bed, and Courage sees that this character is playing with this toy mouse. And so Courage thinks that this is all a plot to eat Eustace and Muriel. In his head, that's what we keep seeing is, oh, this character is going to eat them. So he takes the toy mouse, and on it, it says, to kitty love bunny. And Courage goes out, and he goes to a diner to try to figure out what he's going to do about this character who he locked in the attic with Eustace and Muriel in their own bedrooms. And while he's at this diner, this rat tells him, oh, yeah, Kitty and Bunny, those two, they were inseparable. They're such a pair. But, oh, yeah, Bunny got a boyfriend and didn't like how close they were. So he made sure that that was over. And that's kind of what they leave it as. And he kind of tells Courage where he can find Bunny. So Courage goes to some train tracks. And on the other side of the train tracks, there's a whole bunch of like nuclear plants and this old rundown apartment building and this like souped up car with like dog spikes on it and a license plate that says K9 rolls up. And these really mean looking Rottweilers pull up and they yank out of the car this adorable little bunny girl. And Courage witnesses that these dogs are mistreating her, specifically her boyfriend. He is watching through the window as the boyfriend threatens her life and then continues to say that he loves her. And so it's a very, very, very sad and toxic and abusive relationship. And she even tries to run away from him, but ends up getting caught by some of the other dogs. And they literally plant her in the ground because he makes reference that he's going to kill her if she tries to run away by saying, I'm gonna bury you in the ground. But they put her in like a giant planter. It's very funny how they play on that. But it's very sad because it's actual like spousal abuse, you know, yeah. Relationship abuse, very yeah. toxic. And so Courage manages to get in. He pulls her out, saves her from the dogs. They go running and they manage to kind of like kill, quote unquote, her evil boyfriend who drives head first into the train. But of course, like in any cartoon, you see that he's got like a lump on his head and he's like dizzy from the train hitting him. And as the train is passing, we see Kitty, the character who was wearing the mask, now completely unmasked. And she's reaching out to Bunny and Bunny's running behind the train and she grabs her hand and she pulls her on board and they have this loving embrace and they're like, finally, we can be together as best friends forever. Bye, Courage. And I was like, okay, these aren't just best friends.
Best yeah. friends forever. Hard wink to camera. Yes. Oh, and, my God.
And it's funny because when you watch the episode, whenever Kitty talks about Bunny or anything related to Bunny, she says the thing that you love most in life. Like she's talking about what she loves most. You know, dogs yeah. take what you love most in life. And they took the one thing I loved away from me. And da da da. So it's very, very clear that she's saying in the episode that she loves. Yeah. Yes. And it's very clear how they reach for each other, how they embrace each other. Like as a kid, when I watched that, I was like, oh, they're girlfriends. And then when they said best friends forever, and I was like actual, like a couple, right? Like girlfriends.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. You know, like when you marry your best friend. Yeah. 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 Exactly. Yeah, of course. Best friends forever.
Yeah. Best friends forever. Just a little kiss here. Yeah. Best friends. Yeah. Yeah. Pals. But there are some people online who think that it's because of the abuse and because of a woman-woman relationship that this may have been what caused Cartoon Network to say, hey, you're canceled. Other people say that it was a different episode that caused this. I think it was the finale where Courage is told he's not perfect and he has horrific nightmares, which is pretty creepy. And then there's another theory, which is just Cartoon Network eventually was like, this is just too scary for kids. It's just too creepy. So I actually tried to go online and see if anybody had ever said in any kind of interview or anything the reason for its cancellation, but I couldn't find anything. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it was the mask episode, but I don't want to say it was because it's just so disappointing if that's, you know, the reason for Courage getting taken off the air.
Yeah, that's such a deep episode. Yeah, because I mean, even as you were describing it, I haven't seen it in a while, but like I felt like when I was thinking about how sad I remember it being, like I felt I was like welling up inside a little bit because I was like, I remember this being a very deep, intense episode. Yes,
it's so dark and it's so sad, but it has like this happy ending, but it really is difficult to watch because it's like you can tell these characters are hurting and there's that abuse in there and it's just but I love it and I it's like I kind of wish there was a little more like that, but
Yeah, that would have been cool to to see more of that, that storytelling.
yeah, I think we get a little hint of it here and there with other episodes, like the Hunchback episode, where it's like this character's misunderstood for being ugly, quote unquote ugly, and people are scared of him, but the scariest dog around, befriends him and wants to just show him that, people can be nice.
Oh my gosh, that is also a great episode. I just remember the insult, I guess, contest between him and Eustace, the Hunchback and Eustace, and Eustace was just calling him every bad name under the sun, and Courage was giving him things to say, but basically all he was saying was that Eustace was bald.
Yes, you, sir, are bald.
You, sir, are extremely bald. Are you bald?
Yes.
Yes.
So good. And he just gets so flustered over it. So, Courage the Cowardly Dog was nominated for 3 Golden Reel Awards. It won one, and it won one Annie. I think it won something else too.
My heart.
Yeah.
I'm
No,
sorry.
that
I wanted to talk about Courage, the fact that Courage has a computer in the attic and how relatable that was
was
as a 90s 2000s kid, as being the one person, or only the kids kind of operating the computer for the most part, type of I was just my dad's also an older gentleman type of dude. He doesn't really do technology, so I was kind of like, I can relate to Courage being the only, it's weird that he's a dog and he's using a computer, but he's the only one in this household using this computer.
It's brilliant because in an era where Googling things was just starting to become a reality, it was just so fun because that's legit, that's what Courage was doing. He's like, I don't know how to do this. So he'd go up to his computer and pound on the keyboard, how to stop, werewolf.
And computer would always be sarcastic, like, oh my
Sassy.
gosh.
Like, how do you not know this, you idiot? And it's like, man, I do feel that way when I Google things sometimes. I feel like my Google's like, are you dumb?
Are you sure? Are you talking about this? Like, no, Google. I want to know how to defeat a whack-a-mole. Google, stop. Stop trying to correct me.
Yes, and it's funny because if anything, it makes more sense now why he has a chunky computer as to back then when even having that kind of computer was probably very expensive and very nice, considering they live in the middle of nowhere, rundown little house.
Oh yeah. Yeah, where's the internet coming from?
Yeah, right.
They're in the middle of nowhere.
Literally. Well, I have to stop the episode because we could just keep talking and talking and talking. And I know we could keep talking about Courage the Cowardly Dog, but it's gotta end, sadly. I know. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your love for Courage with me and all of our wonderful listeners.
Yes, of course, happy to. You know, the things I do for love and whatnot.
Too perfect. Well, where can our listeners find you?
Yeah, well, you can find me on the interwebs on Instagram.com. My handle is Way Singleton, and as well as on Twitter, Way Singleton. And you can also find me on the podcast that I co-host with my friend Brianna Williams, which is the Black and Animated Podcast. And you can find that on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, wherever you can find podcasts, and/or blackandanimated.podbean.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for coming onto the podcast. I really appreciate it. It was so much fun.
Yeah, this was great. Thank you for having me. And I'm so happy to, just gush about, this literally such a good time. I'm so sad that this is ending. I'm like, oh, I just want to talk about Courage more.
Same.
But folks, hey, go and watch a bunch of Courage. Absorb all the courage you can.
Yes. That's it for this thrilling, chilling episode of A Jaunty Haunt. If you would like to submit a ghost story, send an email to ajauntyhauntpodcast@gmail.com for a chance of having it read on the show. Or you can follow A Jaunty Haunt on Twitter for the latest updates on the podcast. For all things witchy, follow me on Instagram at Eidolon's Kingdom. That's EIDOLONS_KINGDOM, where you can also find a link in my bio for tarot readings and other witchy services. You can check out my art on Instagram at Eidolon Knight for art and more. That's EIDOLON_NIGHT. Huge thank you to Bree Paulson for creating the theme for Jaunty Haunt. Beware and take care.